What's up, y'all? This is Tony Powell, and you're listening to Powell to the People, the podcast, episode 273. Once again, the greatest, the finest, the most fantastic, the most electric cast in all of podcasting has reconvened to talk that stuff. When I want to know what's going on with the New York City transit scene, there is absolutely no expert I have more faith in than my cousin, Mr. Keith Powell. What's going on, Keith?
I am good, and it's great to be here with my family.
When I want to talk local TV news, who do I trust? I trust my favorite director, who happens to be my favorite brother, Mr. Mark Powell's in the house. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, family? What's up, world?
And when I want to talk local New York City real estate, there is absolutely nobody I have more faith in than the man they call Mr. Eddie Kane Jr. Sometimes I just want to talk to God. And when I want to talk to the man upstairs, there's nobody I have more faith in than the man they call Reverend Doctor. My cousin, DP's in the house. What's going on, DP?
Everything is good in the cipher. I'm glad everybody's well. And for the record, you know, this is Holy Week, my brothers. I am here with you.
Well, that's good. That's the, yeah. Well, you're going to be busy this week. You know, I mean, how's the Brooklyn Flock going? I mean, have you taken over you know, Bishop Pimp Daddy's spot?
Yeah, well, we got our new tambourines in, you know, for the choir. And, you know, we have made the collection box just a tad bit bigger than what the old cat had, you know. I'm looking out for my family, and I'm pretty sure y'all need some things.
Got the point assistance on lock.
Well, you know, got to believe in somebody. Why not believe in me?
One of my favorite movies when I was growing up.
Car Wash.
One of my favorite movies.
There's a lot going on this week. Apparently, there's a lot going on outside my neighborhood.
Again, right on time, as always.
You know, and it's funny because
we buried the time of start.
I want the audience to know we've been off the air on this platform talking for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. Nothing.
Not one. Not a sign. Not a single one. The moment I start broadcasting, everybody in New York starts committing crimes. I feel like the kingpin. Every time I say something, crimes are committed in my name. I don't want to sleep. People dying, there's fires all over the town. I don't understand this, man. It's like Pee Wee's Playhouse. It's like when they say the magic word and all the noise starts to happen. That's exactly
they got
what
you.
It is.
They got you, definitely.
Eddie, news has been happening today. We got breaking news. Apparently, the Cheetolini, Mango Mussolini, Donald Trump has got a break from the New York State Court of Appeals. He was supposed to pay about $500 million, and now they done knocked it down to $175 million. Now, I don't have $175 million. That's a lot of money for anybody. But, you know, when you're supposed to be a billionaire, at least as he says, at least nine times over, $175 million is money you find in the couch of your mansion. That's the kind of money you got lying around. That's your tip money. That's the money you pay Uber Eats when they show up. So, apparently he was saying he was having a hard time coming up with the $475 million nut. He couldn't make it and nobody was loaning him any money. But I have a theory. I got a theory about this new number. I think he's going to make this new nut. And I'll tell you why. Ain't nobody in their right mind going to get this fool $475 million. Knowing they ain't going to get their money back. Mm-hmm. Knowing they're not going to get their money back. At the bargain price of $175 million, and you can buy yourself a possible president? That's like me making that little $10 bet on JMU. Thank you very much, Derek. I said $10 might turn into something big here, you know, but I don't know. Your thoughts?
I agree.
I don't mean to cut you off, Keith. I don't know if he can secure the bond, man. I hear what you're saying, buying a possible president, but folks don't want to mess with this guy, man. I saw his son on Fox News, and he's stressing, and we called over 30 bonds company, and we can't secure. And I'm like, when you don't pay back, and you're known for not paying back, why would I take this risk with you? I think they lowered the 175 just to prove a point that he ain't going to pay, and then I think they're going to push it back up and put all the interest right back on him and start securing his properties.
He's got 10 days. He's got 10 days to pay. It's not just that they lowered it. It's mm-hmm. that they lowered it from almost by two-thirds, just about, and brought it down to 175, and they gave him an additional 10 days to come up with the money. So, again,
if he got it, if he's that big, why he need 10 days?
Because he's a charlatan. He said earlier when it first came down, he said he didn't have it. I wasn't going to be able to have this. And then over the weekend or recently, I'm not sure exactly the dates, he said he did have it, partly due to this alleged sale of or joint venture with his True Social app or whatever, social media platform. But this is Trump, so nothing he says you believe because he's a constant liar. Like I said, mm-hmm. you know, if he told me it was rain outside and I saw the rain, I still wouldn't believe him. I have to go in and touch it because he's that much of a liar. So I never believed he was going to go to jail. I never believed that he's going to lose. Letitia James is going to seize some of his properties just because there's too many people working behind the scenes that are undercover Trumpers who are going to make sure things just don't go the way they should go. As much as we believe he's a criminal, and we know he's a criminal, you know, people say, yeah, was it a line from Chuck D? Every brother ain't a brother. There are people who, you know, as much as New York is after him for his lies and his crimes, there's also a place where he has a lot of sway. So I just never thought he would get to crime or get to losing properties and or jail. And I also believe if it ever came down to the ultimate level of, listen, he's failed here, here, and here. Once he gets to that Supreme Court, it all goes away anyway.
I think it is like this. You know, they give you that rope to put around your neck, and they stand by that chair. So we're going to lower it down to 175. Because if he had the 175, he would have paid it today.
That's a good point.
If he got that type of dough.
Not him.
I'm paying it today.
He doesn't believe you should pay a dime. So you think he's going to pay 175? He thinks he's innocent of all charges. So why would he pay a thing? That would just, in his mind, admit guilt and guilt to the fact that you guys are fraudulent. He would never, ever, ever. He's going to stretch this out. He's, you know, his ultimate plan is to get into the White House so he can push it off for four more years. That's his real goal. But he's never going to pay it.
He can't push this off. State any state crimes that includes Georgia, this crime that's the trial that's coming up
on the
15th of April with the Stormy Daniels hush money trial that's coming up in April. State trials, there's nothing they can do about it. If he gets convicted in the state, then that's the
I would like to believe
sovereign.
That to be true. But
he just got
to
deal with it.
Well, I know
the Storm the Capitol did that.
Has them heels on that chair and about to kick his ass away.
Letitia ain't the one he need to worry about. It's that Fannie Wells. Oh. I done lost my man. You done put me on blast. Ain't nobody coming through here to tighten me up. Somebody ain't nothing like, you know, I know. Ain't nothing like the scorn of the goddamn
Hey, Dirk, he got two sisters on his ass.
On that ass. And that's they, two. Yo, man, they want to prove a point. You know, they're not playing with this guy, man. So whatever. Right now, she got her law books out. I'm getting up in his ass. We get it. Yo, they talking on the phone. This cat going to, he may not go to jail. He going to get that money up, though. They're not playing with him, man. These two sisters, yo, you as you said last week, that Howard attitude and, you know, I don't need no man for nothing. I'm going to the credit union and all. Nah, man. He going to see the truth, man. He going to learn today, man. You don't want them on your – they worse than the IRS, man. A black woman on your ass, man.
I wish that to be true. I just don't – after January 6th, when, you know, who you going to believe, me or your lying eyes – when we all saw what happened and they still were able to deny and obfuscate and say that this didn't happen, I'm just like, I just believe somewhere along the line, somebody's going to, you know, pull a plug. It's sort of like the line of the scene in Forrest Gump when he goes to speak to the crowd at and he's about to give this big speech, and right he's about to give it, somebody pulls a plug, and then he comes back. That's what I have to say about that. That's how his life is. He lives this kind of weird charm life of just when you think you're about to get him, somebody along the way will do something to delay it, push it, call it into question, and then it's another delay. Because this is his whole life. He's been sued a million times. It's not like it's the first time he's ever been sued. Right. And nothing ever gets to court because he typically countersues for an obscene amount. And the person says, I don't have that. I mean, that's what he did to Stormy Daniels. You know, he accused her of defamation. Are you kidding me? And he sued her for some crazy amount. She's like, I don't have that. So now she has to defend something that she's not or didn't do because of his people and his nature. So it's just...
Yeah. Well,
I think that's the case that starts in 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
That criminal case is going forward in 3 weeks, man. Right.
But he's fighting the states now. You know, it's a little different.
It's a little different, man.
A little different with the states now.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't think that the Stormy Daniels case is the best possible case. I think the Georgia case is a little heavier. I think to me, the big two cases are the ones that he's been able to delay, and that is the January 6th case and the stolen documents case. But to take your point about January 6th, about how they have clouded the issue and, you know, delayed this thing, and now people are starting to say, well, maybe it wasn't that bad a deal, even though we sat in our houses in shock and amazement.
Yeah, horrified.
And horror. Yeah. You know, I was traumatized waiting for the gunfire because I figured if there was black and brown people, it was a bunch of Latinos out there doing that shit, it was a bunch of African-Americans out there doing that, a bunch of Asians out there I guarantee you there would have been some shots fired way before they got inside.
Of course.
But I think the problem with that particular case is not that they've had enough time, you know, the GOP's had enough time to kind of throw sand in the gears and try to hide or cloud our judgment. The problem with that case is that when Merrick Garland got appointed to be Attorney General, that should have been job one, not the January 6th hearings, none of that. That should have been his first thing to say, listen, I'm investigating the living hell out of this. This was an attack on our democracy. What happened? Who happened? They already had the hearings from Congress, so that shouldn't have been an issue. And he should have, way before he appointed Jack Smith to be the special counsel, should have already had somebody on that ass 2 years ago so that this thing would have been tried already or coming to trial. So now we're sitting around waiting and saying, well, hopefully, maybe, possibly, there'll be a trial before, you know, the first Tuesday or second Tuesday in November. But that's really like that. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, the fact that we're talking about this guy who has cheated the city of New York out of at least $500,000, and he's going to still get a break on that. The fact that this dude was actually trying to overturn an election in Georgia, and we still don't have she's been working on this case for 2 years. 2 years she's been working on this case, and we still don't have a court date for it. The fact that this dude, that the FBI had to raid his house like somebody else's house, we know. I'll talk about that in a second. The fact that the FBI had to raid his house to find documents that belong to the U.S. government, including nuclear secrets. Mm-hmm. And you know, he Trump is all about his money. As Mark just said, he's not even willing to give up the $175 he needs to wait for his appeal, you know, to get to find, in air quotes, justice. So... this is all insane. So, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong about justice. It's certainly been delayed. I hope it's not denied. That's my feeling.
One thing I don't understand, Anthony, the Republican Party, a group of men and women who are supporting this man running for president.
Cittolini, yeah.
Right. They have no voice of the matter to say that we don't need him to run for us because he has all these cases against you. That's like Nino Brown in New Jack City. Remember when he pointed to Christopher Williams? Chris Williams. He's running the show and stuff like that.
That's right. Get that pressure off.
At the convention, they can do that. When they get to the convention, because he has enough delegates to get to the convention. So at the convention, they could say, you know, you have, you know, this state of Mississippi could give the delegates to somebody else, but they won't. It's never happened. But that train should have been stopped. Not now. It should have been stopped. I guess it'd be 5 years ago. It should have stopped been 9 years ago, because 4 years of his presidency and then a year before he kind of ran. That's when it should have stopped, when all those guys are talking big smoke and they got quiet. You know, when McConnell, before he was having his freeze-ups and that little boy Rubio and even Cruz, all these people who were kind of...
Little Marco,
man, he was on... All those, that's when they should have stopped, but they just kind of thought, it's a joke. And as quiet as it's kept, they did get a benefit out of him being president. They got the ultra
tax cut,
tax cut, but not even that. They got the hammer. The thing that's always my issue, or one of my biggest issues when I vote for presidency is the Supreme Court. If I have my way, I want a non-independence. I don't want to know where you lean, because ideally you're supposed to be blind. So I want to have that kind of be the balance of justice. But they got a Supreme Court that has at least five really young judges. I mean, the Chief Justice is not that old. And then you brought in Coney Barrett and Mr. Beer, and you got crazy
ass Kavanaugh, Barrett, and Gorsuch.
A lot of young justices. So unless they retire or die out, they got the court for a good 30, possibly 40 years. Mm-hmm. And that's what that was the biggest achievement. That's what he was able to do, because, you know, the turtle, McConnell, held up the nomination when
Barack was there.
Yeah, and for a lot longer than they squeezed in Barrett. He held that up for almost 9 months, and they squeezed in Barrett in about 18, a month.
Almost a year and a half out of almost 18 months.
So they got their achievement, but now when they're done with him, they're really done with him, because they realize they keep losing these elections. You can't get rid of them. Once you let the roaches in, they're there.
Well, here's the big problem, and you make a great point about the Supreme Court, and I was screaming that way before, you know, I didn't care about Hillary's emails, you know, she was saying it. Listen, it's not about me, it's about the Supreme Court. You know, you're going to get this dude in, this is what's going to happen. As for the party, it's not just him. See, this is where history needs to be, like where people need to just step back 20 feet, step back 100 feet, step back 1,000 yards so they can see the forest for the trees. Barack Obama gets elected. And suddenly America, that racist element that has always existed in this country since its founding, saw a black man occupying the White House. They saw a black wife, black kids all up in their White House. And they lost their minds, and so they formulated this thing called the Tea Party. Now the country had started to swing multicultural for a while. I mean, the demographics were clear that this country at some point within a certain amount of years would certainly not be a majority white country. And white people have been freaking out about that. So you started to see these efforts, you know, back in the day. But just take ourselves back to John McCain and Sarah Palin. When John McCain told America that this knucklehead was fit to be vice president, that was the beginning of the end. That said, that told people that, you know, we don't have to be smart. We just have to know how to vote. If we're going to vote on these culture war issues, this is what we're going to do. He didn't get elected. Black man got elected. America freaks out. I'm not saying all of America. I'm saying that element that's always existed since before the Civil War, and has existed after the Civil War, the Jim Crow South. That element that was so freaked out by the idea that this could be a thing, this could be a trend. Keep in mind, you have black man in the White House for 8 years, and then who's running to replace him? A woman? Oh my God, a woman too?
Mm-hmm.
They lost it. Trump comes along and he appeals to what the party had already become. The Republican Party had already been going down that pathway. They've been going down that pathway with Newt Gingrich. They've been going down that pathway since the 1964 Civil Rights Act, when all of the Southern racists in the Democratic Party said, oh, okay, well, shit, I'm getting out of this. I'm moving over to the Republican Party, Strom Thurmond and all these people. So you've had that for years. At the end of Nixon's administration, people say, oh, the Republican Party's dead. Yeah, and they should have been. But then Jimmy Carter came in, and Jimmy was solid but not great. And that allowed room for Ronald Reagan to come back and revitalize grievance politics, you know, white grievance, white, you know, white
identity
victim.
Politics.
Huh?
Identity yeah. politics.
Identity politics, exactly right. That's what he ran on, and that's what he got elected on. And so that kind of threw the country into that party into a tizzy. If you look at the Republican platform from when Eisenhower was president, you wouldn't be able to tell that platform from today's Democratic platform. They almost looked identical. So that tells you how much a swing had occurred. So now here we are in this situation with this guy who was appealing to that far right fringe that he said he likes the poorly educated. That's his base.
I know, yeah.
But what's dangerous is he's got smart people, highly educated people, you know, Ivy League educated people who also support him.
Right. But he lost out, I think, a lot of the Jewish people over the statement he made. You know, you don't love your religion and stuff. You know, if you don't vote for, you know, the Democrats and all that stuff. So he's stepping on a lot of people's foot. Oh, man.
Worked last time.
Yeah. But if these people, like Anthony said, you got some people who are highly educated, but actually they kind of dumb because they actually believe in his ideology or what he believes in and what this country should be.
One thing I heard over the weekend, he's thinking about Ron DeSantis as the vice president. That scares me because he's smart cat. He's a smart cat. If he gets him in there, I can see Ron DeSantis running the show where this guy just be out there as a puppet and Ron DeSantis is making all of the changes in favor of his people. And just letting this guy bark and telling folks, don't listen to this guy. He's crazy as hell. Do what I tell you to do. And getting all the policies that he wants passed while he's in the White House. But he's really considering them. And he comes out and said it. He's a good looking Latino guy. Shit, you know, get the Spanish vote. Yeah. Shit.
I think with the vice president, the party always picks the vice president. I mean, because they would pick somebody to quote unquote balance the ticket. Because that Bonneville and Pence was the complete opposite of Trump, and right. You know Trump, the way he lives his life, the way he believes, couldn't stand Pence. That's not the kind of guy he want to, you know, roll with, but he had to. That was one concession he did give in. Okay, fine. You guys want to let this guy be the thing? Fine, I'll roll with him, but it's not how I want. Even his wife was like, why is he around? You know, you always pick somebody who essentially fills in your gaps. Barack was young and youthful, needed somebody to have been in the Senate and government since 1910, so he picked, you know, Biden. Reagan was, you know, old and kind of, you know, whatever, so you pick FBI? Or CIA.
Head of CIA.
Yeah, so you always pick somebody to kind of balance CIA. your softness. And of course, you know, Mr. Clinton had his issues, so he picks a church man to be, so...
Alleged issue.
Yeah, so DeSantis and Trump would be two of this. Yeah. Oh my gosh. DeSantis and Trump would be two of the same people. Their party was not going to let. They're not going to let that happen. So, but the problem is, who is it going to be? It's going to be somebody we don't know about. I mean, because I was watching this weekend, and I'm watching, you know, Mr. Rubio just bend over all kinds of ways to defend a guy who we called a con man and a guy who talked about his father like his father didn't exist. Watched Cruz talk about, you know, how great Trump is after Trump called his wife basically a pig. You know, it's all these things. So the vice president will be somebody who, in quote unquote, softens him and fills in the gaps. Who that person is, we don't know. I mean, you have no idea who's that going to be yet.
I think he won't be anybody
that we know of right now. I'd be surprised if that was the case.
I think he's looking at a woman to
probably
to, balance that ticket.
Hope so he that girl give the give this women.
But I got to tell you, I got to push back on what you said about the convention. What's going to happen is that they can't possibly, even in the convention, even though they know this guy is toxic and is probably not going to win no election, they can't. It's very difficult to pick your presidential candidate at the convention. Think about when the convention happens. It's going to happen end of the summer. You have about 2-3 months to get elected. What you can't do is release the money. That's why people say, "Well, why doesn't the Democrats, you know, let somebody else?" The money that you raise, that the Biden campaign raises, or that the Trump campaign raises, is for the Trump campaign. You can't just say, "Well, all right, this is my money. I'm gonna let it go. You can have it." It's hard for them to release that money to another candidate, meaning that that candidate would have no money to really, really run unless they're able to self-fund. And you know that these things cost a lot of money. TV costs a lot of money. All that has to happen. Plus, you have to already have bought these slots, these TV slots, these to make it happen in that situation. It's really difficult.
Well, couldn't they get these PACs that stand behind these different presidents? Couldn't they raise that type of money?
Yeah, PACs can. I mean, PACs can do it, but it's you still need PACs can't go out there and register voters like the, you know, Democratic or Republican national committees. That's what they can't do it like that. You know, it's very I read a couple of articles on this. It's almost, you know, because they were saying, why don't they get Gavin Newsom? He'd be great. It's almost impossible at that late date to get somebody to swap out and switch, a campaign fund. A crack research team just said that President Biden's reelection campaign had $71 million on hand at the end of February, more than double the
$33.5 million
in former President Donald J. Trump's campaign account as Democrats continue. And the Republican National Committee is $8 million in the hole. So there's a lot.
That's where the real money is going to come. That's what is the big deal. That's why they want that money released, because, you know, you and I sit there and think, okay, fine. But I'm always amazed that any advertising works on anybody. I'm always like, how do you fall for that? You know, same way I'm always like, I'm always just dumbfounded at, okay, how does that work? But it apparently does work, because if it didn't work, they wouldn't be fighting hard to raise that money. You know,
but like you said before, you know, they show certain commercials here in the East.
Yeah.
And in the West, they show certain ones.
Sure.
Then in the middle, they show something completely different that they don't see on the East or West. So, yes, they watching this TV and they sitting back and they actually believe what they're hearing, which is crazy.
That's
you got to realize
Facebook
there's only maybe like 5 states that you're really going to be like grinding on. It's going to be Wisconsin, the same states. You know, I hate the battleground. I hate the idea of this Electoral College, but unfortunately that's the way the system is until they change it. So you're going to have Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and then I feel like I'm forgetting a couple, that's pretty much like the nut right there. If you can hold Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, there's no way for the Republicans to win. And conversely, if you lose one or two of those states, it becomes almost impossible for a Democrat to win. So that's where all the advertising dollars are going. That's why if you live in those states, you know, as opposed to like New York, you know, New York is not going to see a lot of Biden ads. Right. You're going to see a couple. There's no reason, because New York is probably going to go for him. California is probably going to go for Biden. But if you live in Texas, same thing. You're not going to see a lot of Trump ads. You're going to see any Biden ads in Texas. You're going to see anywhere that you're not defending. That's where you're going to see the money being spent. Speaking of, as I said earlier, federal raids. One Sean Combs has got his own Mar-a-Lago type problems. Apparently, Homeland Security, FBI, damn near everybody has raided both his Los Angeles property and his Miami property on allegations of sex trafficking and God knows what else. There's pictures on TMZ right now of Combs' sons, you know, talking to SWAT team members, or Homeland Security dudes. They all dressed up. They got their helmets on. They got, you know, the rifles, and they're standing there, you know, all cuffed up outside the home. So something is going on. This Little Rod lawsuit, among others, is starting to bear fruit because apparently he kept all the receipts, and it's getting heavy for Sean Combs. I think you were talking a couple of weeks ago, Derek, about the music that he and R. Kelly can make.
Oh, they're making it in jail. Fire. Listen to me, man. You know, R. Kelly, you know, and him producing, it's going to be crazy, you know, but these guys, I guess they feel that, you know, they're untouchable, man, and it's got to stop, man. You can't be cheating folks out of money. You know, you got these guys signing all kind of crazy record deals. You know, they can't get nothing from you. And then every time you turn around, some woman has accused you of touching, berating, raping, passing them around, and think you just gonna go untouched. His biggest issue came when that chick said, boom, I got the receipts. He said, this is a lie. I'm not paying. And the next day, they settled. His insurance company's like, we can't go to court with this. That has opened up the floodgates. Folks are no longer scared. And when they get on that booty, he's going down, you know, a lot sooner than later. If he's anywhere in this country, he got to come out of hiding because they got his sons in the bracelets. You don't want your son, your young son, to feel my daddy is not supporting me and he's here. Then you get to talk and you get to yap it. You start talking about the private room behind the bookcase. That's what it takes. You saw him as a kid. Y'all was playing hide and go seek. You like spin around like the Addams Family. Like, what is this? And you never told your dad you found a spot. So you go in there after school, you know, show and tell with your friends. You charge 50 cents. Yo, you got to see what's going on in here. And now you're waiting for Pops to come see you, and Pops never moved that stuff out. Yo, that's my daddy. His information y'all want. Let me dip. You see Justin's hair? Justin's too pretty to get locked up. Justin's too goddamn pretty to be in anybody's county, prison. No way they braiding it. He braiding everybody. No, he gonna give his daddy up. So I'm hoping Puffy, you know, come get his sons. Because when I saw the sons cuff up, I'm like, this ain't good. And the only confusion I got was, I'll be sure son, one of the kids who was cuffed up, because I know Puffy raised him like his own son.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when there's no bloodlines, you know, it's real easy to talk, you know. You ain't my daddy anyhow. You know how that goes, man. Yeah, Puff, you going down. Too many people. It's just too many daggers coming at this guy, man.
Listen. You're supposed to burn everything when the first case went down. You burn everything. If you got it in your house, we shred it and we burn it. You do not keep it around just in case shit like this happened. They come by boat, not just by car, but by boat. Make sure nobody get off.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is scary.
This looked like Call of Duty, Keith. They had helicopters. They had boats. They had guys with guns in the trees. Call of Duty. That's what it was. I mean, they came prepared for
When they come like that and use that type of resources, somebody's got to go to jail. They not doing this for show and tell.
And the evidence
ain't for TMZ. Somebody getting locked up.
The evidence they had clearly that they presented to the judge to get the search warrant is so heavy.
Yes.
That they said, as you point out, Derek, that they used those resources.
Yes.
Based on the evidence and the receipts that were provided by whoever.
We gotta get him now. He is a menace to society. We need him off the ground. We need him locked up now.
Hey Derek, you're supposed to check everybody come in your house for wires.
When you are, you know what happens, man? When you have done it for so long and you feel you are above the law and that it became normal to this guy, this is how life is lived. You know, even though it's far right, but this is how it is. So he's like, freak it. You start getting real relaxed with it. And even though folks are saying, this is what he did to me, he's still saying, I ain't do it. Now, Young Miami, that's the new young girlfriend. You know she giving him up. She looking to tell her story.
She ain't going to jail with him.
She ain't going to jail. She ain't going to. Jennifer Lopez. She want to come out surviving Jennifer in a little bit. Yeah, that gun in that club. That wasn't Sean Glenn. That was Puffy. That's why I brought, remember, the minute that shooting happened, she was gone.
She was gone. She's out of there.
Gone. It was no ifs, ands. It was nothing he could tell that lady about nothing. I'm gone. I'm not dealing with you. Puff going down, man.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, I mean, because J-Lo, again, talking about TikTok off the air, you know, they try to get rid of TikTok, but all this information we learning is coming out. Because maybe that's why they try to get rid of it, because it's all, you know, it's all dirt.
Yeah, but what's crazy, Anthony, they voted to get rid of TikTok, but they can't fix the immigration laws.
No, that's true. I mean, well, facts is are a terrible thing. Puffy, the fact that he's still in the country,
if he's in the country, right.
I just asked our crack research team, Mark, to look up the non-extradition countries. So, Puffy, if you're listening, there's some spots in Africa, like Libya, you know.
Might
be able to find a nice spot in Tripoli if you like that. Certainly, Russia. I know you like that vodka. That's Ciroc. So, you know, you might be able to go over there and, you know, milk out of deal.
Ciroc.
People, you know, where else can you go?
China, Iran, North Korea. There's a lot of bad choices in this.
Exactly.
North Korea. I mean, you know, you bring yourself a little Epstein Island. You good.
He's going to need to do the Epstein Island deal. I hope he have enough money to go buy himself an O&I. Listen, you know, you can't extradite me. It's my own island. This the country of Puff. You know.
The Vatican City. Yeah. You can say the Vatican City.
Puffy, I mean, that's the probably the best of the things I've found so far. That's probably the best gig.
Best place, Vatican City.
But he can't leave the Vatican City. Once you go in there, you cannot leave. You have to stay.
Sometimes you gotta dress up and play the role.
The other choice is prison. Guess what? I'll be in Vatican City, I guess.
I'm telling you. Well,
you can't get your freaky DJ on in Vatican City, I'll tell you that.
They can't get it on in there either.
Memories. Hold on to the memories.
Right. He's fetish, man. He going down, man.
Crazy.
Daddy. You made some good music, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. And
life unchecked. Eventually gets checked.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
A good check, Mark. That's for sure.
Right away. Quickly,
but yeah, it's just when you read it, when you hear about it, it is so stunning, the levels of depravity. And I'm of the belief that this didn't just start when he got money, because it seems like the people that are around him, the ones who, you know, like, who's saying something good about him? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going out on a limb to defend him? Who's saying something great about him? Nobody's really saying, like, oh, no, nah, you know, I've known Puffy for X amount of years, and he's a great guy. Every conversation you hear from every person of note, they're not saying great things. And that says that there's probably far more dirt than we can even imagine, because the people around him, there's nobody that's out there in the radios. There's nobody going on the Breakfast Club. There's nobody going on Club Shay Shay to talk about. He's not going on it to talk about, you know, what a great guy he is and how dare these people come after this man like this. I've known this man for 25 years and, you know, I've never seen. Nah, ain't nobody saying that.
Because they know who he is.
Call it up.
They know exactly who he is. It ain't good, P. Diddy. You know, I'm not going to be like them and call you Puffy. Your name is P. Diddy, that's what you say, and I'm calling you P. Diddy. But you mess around and you get one of them federal joints, you might be a Puffy, though. I tell you that.
Argo's going to give him a call. Argo's going to tell him how he has to survive.
Yeah, you know, you saw, we had the tape of R. Kelly singing in the gym. You know, he still got his pipes. Just imagine they getting the same and he's on the bench with his beats, you know, making his beats off the bench and nice sounds and all blowing. That's going to be crazy, man. You know, they in the studio. You know, when they get back on the little cell block, they in the studio, man.
But you know they can record on the phone now, you know. Sure. They record on the phone, you know.
You'll send me the track, man. You'll send me, you know, R. Kelly ready to drop. This is the newest joint. And he got the hot emojis popping out. All the scoopers, you know. Otisville and shit. Marion. You know, they cutting and scratching in there. Shit. Good luck, buddy. It ain't good. I just know in February, they rounded up some former colleagues. When they go through that extent, and I'm seeing some of these folks now taking plea agreements, they got you. They got you. It's just how much you going to get, how much time.
Jennifer Lopez, I think on one of these, maybe you just mentioned it, I'm not sure I haven't seen the documentary, but she admitted, or somebody is saying that she was the one that had the gun. That it wasn't Shine, that she took the gun, right? Brought it into the club and brought it out of the club. And
This is what's scary, and this is just how things work, man. There's a Law and Order episode where Kerry Washington? Right. Kerry Washington plays a role that she is this actress, singer, and she has this big boyfriend who's a music mongol. There's a shooting in the club when somebody gets killed, and fast forward, it comes out at the end that it's Kerry Washington who had the pistol, and the guy was standing up for her. The only difference is, though, even if J-Lo did have the gat, they saying that Puffy's the one who bust off that gun and gave Shine X amount of dollars to say it was him. Yeah. So all this is coming out. And Shine is over in Belize. He's like some sort of big government official, a mayor or something now, man.
Yeah.
So you know he got a story to tell. You know, he done ran through that money. You know, I know they ain't paying but peanuts over there in Belize. So, you know, he want to talk.
Yeah, no, it's about to go down. Yes. Before we cut out, I mean, we got a couple of minutes to talk about the NCAAs. I know Keith was talking about the upsets. I think that's the only reason I watch. I watch the NCAAs now the way I used to watch Evel Knievel. You kind of want to see it make it, but you okay with the crash.
Yo, that's crazy. That's crazy.
That was good
television. Like, you know, kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Kentucky gets mopped. They're done.
They're done by Oakland.
Auburn loss.
Right. Duquesne beat BYU.
Yeah.
James Madison, as Dirk said, was going to beat Wisconsin. That's where you win $10.
Big Ten.
No, that's why I lost the money, because I said, you know what?
Hold on, wait, Dirk. You went against what Dirk was saying?
No. They won their first game. They got smacked by Duke,
second
right?
Game. Second game.
They got smacked by Duke.
Yeah. The second game.
Yeah, no.
By the time I got there,
I was too late to get the first game. So I said, well, you know what?
Well, you knew this last week.
Let me take
week.
The 6.5. It was them at 6.5.
Shit, they beat them by 40. God damn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my 6.5 was born in the first 5 minutes. I was like, damn, I'm down 6.5.
Yeah. His blood, he can't help himself.
Okay, I understand, cuz. We got Grand Canyon beat St. Mary's.
Right, that was an upset. I don't even know where, until I Google it, Grand Canyon is in Arizona. I'm like, well, where the hell is this school?
Yeah, me and Dirk was talking about it.
California.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in the same conference with Gonzaga and them. They're always strong.
Right. Oregon beat South Carolina State. Me and Dirk was just talking about this yesterday. South Carolina, Mississippi, Kentucky.
SEC stunk it up.
They all of them gone.
Mm-hmm. They got one SEC. I think they sent 6 teams and only Alabama left. They stunk it this year.
Oh, Tennessee's out too?
I think Tennessee lost.
Tennessee plays.
They got two schools in.
They got two teams in.
Yeah, Tennessee had a horrible show. That's my guy, Rick Barnes. That's one of my favorite coaches.
Who's Tennessee? Barnes?
Yeah, because he used to come to Long Island Lutheran when he was a nobody at George Mason and give the camps when he was an assistant. So I've always been a Rick Barnes fan.
Gotcha.
Well, I was glad to see Shaka Smart.
Man. Oh, yeah. I like him too.
Marquette. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're playing well.
I'm happy to see them. Very well.
There will be some upsets this week. You know, some teams are going to look kind of shady. You got Houston versus Duke, Iowa, Illinois. The game here would be Gonzaga and Purdue.
Yeah, but Purdue wins small that. Upsets. It's not like two. You're not like having the 215 upsets or those. You know, these are like small upsets. If Duke was to beat Houston, It's an upset by number, but it's not crazy. It's not like, you know, when a 2 seed beats a 15 or the 116 right. seeds. These are like, at this point, this is around 16.
You mean like
so,
Virginia?
But yeah. Oh, but Virginia at least, but the next year, what they did? They can't make them win at all. So at least they redeemed themselves.
Hey, Mark, we didn't mention Virginia, you know, what they did, you know.
Yeah, they kind of went to bed.
Man. Talk about it. Put it out there. Go ahead. Say it. Yeah, you say know, it.
They were just playing to get in. They didn't even show up.
You went to bed. It's like my bison.
That shit's
over.
No, your bison's
over. I mean, Howard's first game, I give him credit. They played the shot. They fought back after being kind of bum rushed. Virginia, that was just a train wreck. I almost felt like they shouldn't even be in Division I anymore the way they come up. That was just trash.
They play with such a low margin of error that it's hard to watch. It reminds me of those
it's the Princeton ball game. It's Pete Carrell style basketball.
Or those in the pro level when Fratello would coach the Hawks. You have these 75, 78 games. Like, man, this is horrible basketball.
Yeah. Right.
It's that Princeton ball. Yeah. It's just hard.
And part of the problem for them is they can't recruit,
which is crazy.
A guy like a guy, you say, listen, you know what? Clear it out. You got the ball. Just get me a bucket. They never recruit that kind of guy. It's got to be you can't name
structure
outside of Brogdon. Yeah, last few years, and what's the kid that went down to Atlanta?
DeAndre Hunter.
They're not really getting that level of player.
No, they have the funds, and that school is.
Yeah, but
then you got to change your style of play.
Not the school. Yeah. It's the coach. If I'm a high flyer, I don't want to go and walk it up the court every time.
Right.
And shoot it at with 2 seconds left on the shot clock. That's like right. listen, I don't want to do that. I mean,
right.
I'm not going there.
Up and down.
I
that's why
go up and down.
Carolina can recruit. Listen, we're going to go up and down. You're going to play hard. When you gas, you come out. When you're good, you go back in. Right. They run a system, but it's not like Virginia has a format.
No, Carolina runs a system. It's like paint by numbers. They got basketball by numbers.
And then once a guy wins, it's hard to tell him, listen, this doesn't work. He said, listen, I've been winning. I won a championship.
Look at my record.
So it's tough to say him, listen, that worked, but that's not a recipe for sustained success. It's just you guys won, not by a trick, but it's just sort of, it's not repeatable.
Lucky. Yeah, he was lucky at that particular time. That's all
that's hard
was.
To do.
He gets to say, there's a coach who had the best player in college basketball for 4 years and didn't win. I didn't have the best college basketball player, and I did win.
As far as Virginia's concerned,
have that
they're not
going to fire
him.
Virginia,
man. Yeah.
The case is always, what have you done for me lately?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's on the hot seat.
Yeah.
He's 5 years, and they have not ever won a championship until him.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to let that cat go. You know,
he's going to get scooped up by another big time.
Until a booster says, "Listen," until a booster says, "Listen," you know, what have you done? What was the thing? What have you done for me lately? That was 5 years ago. Heck, they fired. I know that was Giannis, but they fired Nick Nurse. Not Nick Nurse. What's the boy?
Adrian Griffin,
Coach Bud in Milwaukee. He won a championship within 3 years. And they said, "Listen, you're not a championship coach anymore." I said, "I just won one 3 years ago."
It was 30 years ago.
Well, the pros are different. Pros are different. I think the problem for Virginia is that you get these players and they stay 2, 3, 4 years just because the system is tricky. It takes a while to learn the system. And I know that I think Derek, you sent this article about
Jay
player
Wright,
age in college. Sure, players Jay too, too old.
Yeah, there's the what is going on now, and it was clear in the Kentucky game. Oakland players, nothing against them. They can play. Right. But when you look at their bodies and their faces, you know, you're talking about kids who are 24 playing against true freshmen, 18 to 19 years old, and just the maturity that they have. And then they have this thing called, when I'm a senior, when I'm in a school, I can reclassify myself. It's not that I got left back. My parents say, well, I'm going to pull you out of the public school, put you back a grade, put you in a Catholic school. And so now, instead of me being in the eighth grade, I'm in the seventh grade. Then when it's time for me to go back up, they pull me back out of that school, put me in a public school, but keep me in the eighth grade. So now it's a 2-year difference. So now I'm 19, 20 years old. We talked about this last week with the stuff in New York. So now I'm 19, 20. I'm still in high school. You graduated high school at 16. The rest of us is 17. It's like, what the hell is going on? So now I got my Kentucky players, and they're going to be pros. These guys are pros. But right now, when you put 18 against 24, 25, it's not going to work. Mark sent out stat, and that kind of blew my mind, where OKC, the Thunder, an NBA goddamn team, average age is 22 years old. And then you're going to tell me North Carolina, a college team, the average age is 22 years old. There's something wrong with what's going on. I don't know if it was COVID, where you keep giving extra years, or the transfer portal.
That started.
Something is wrong where I think you got to start capping the ages, where if 23 is going to be the age, make it 23. After 23, you need to go overseas, G League, NBA. But I can't keep matching you up against 18 and 19-year-old, because they're still teenagers, because you're physically and mentally stronger and better. Man. And those freshmen, if I'm in college right now, I'm not recruiting no freshmen. I'm going to the transfer portal, get a kid who's big and strong, who's halfway decent and want to learn and can learn my system, and that's the kid I'm going to get. Because I need to be able to compete against those teams come March and April.
Yeah, no, I mean the game is different, and again that comparison between OKC and your average top five or power five college team, the age is pretty much damn near the same. I mean, it's scary.
The same. UNC is the same age as OKC.
Average age, and these guys are staying in school. I'm still dumbfounded when I hear a guy has been in college for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he still got eligibility, because I remember it used to be a thing. You know, I mean, how did that happen? How you still got eligibility? You've been in college for 6-7 years.
Well, I've been
and the NFL draft is coming up, and there's a quarterback, Bo Nix, who's been playing. I think he's probably playing with his kids right now, playing on the same team with his son, because he's like 25 playing college football.
Yeah.
And he's played for like 6 years.
Yeah.
With eligibility.
Yeah.
It's in my opinion, it's not fair because of, you know, just the age and the size. I can't put him. It's one thing if he's an 18-year-old freshman and he's a 20, 21-year-old senior. I get it. But when you're talking 18, 24, 25, ain't nothing good coming out of that game and Oakland showed that. When they started banging in the paint, you see them cats backing up and kept backing up because, you know, you're not used to that. This ain't your little McDonald's All-American buddy. Nah, this is a grown-ass man. He probably got a part-time job at the post office, man. And he's backing you in like that. And I'm like, and when you look at the jump shooter, they had a kid who hit 10 three-pointers. Yeah, right. This kid's body and form, I still believe he's playing overseas. Like, you know how they do with the ladies in the offseason? You go overseas and you play the regular season here? I think he's overseas playing somewhere. Ain't no way.
Yeah, that guy, he looked like a high school history teacher.
Exactly. But he on a college team? We ain't no Cinderella. I'm like, damn, that boy's voice, he scared me. Just imagine, you can't guard me. What the fuck? You know? Last year, those kids in Kentucky was in high school.
Yes.
Last year, they in high school. They're playing against men, grown men, hungry, trying to get a contract overseas. They were not ready for that. I wasn't ready for it, man. I wasn't ready.
No, it's different. I mean, and before we cut out, one last topic. AAU basketball. I know it's something that you're familiar with.
Yeah,
you were talking about that earlier.
It's Big Perk, ESPN, former Boston Celtic, has said it years ago that AAU is horrible. And the more you hear folks talk about the way it is now, it's just evident. A referee goes live after refereeing some AAU games. He explains that he's been threatened, where folks have told him, see you in the parking lot after the game. It's goddamn basketball. This not even high school back. This AAU, you know, Summer Circuit, Nike, whatever it is, Adidas. And then he says his message was to the parents. If you are in the crowd and you on the coach's case, you trying to coach your kid from the stand. Don't listen to coach. You take it. You on the referee's cases. You're yelling at the other parents. If any of the four of us is an assistant coach and we sent out on a recruiting trip, that's definitely, I don't care how good the kid is, we're not taking that kid, because that's the mama who's on the phone with us the minute he walk on campus. Is he shooting? Is he doing this? And then when you go to the game, put my baby, your baby can't goddamn play. He's just all right. We got kids that are better. You don't want that type of pressure, and that's going to stop that kid from being recruited. And that's the message he wants to give them. But I don't know if you guys have gone to any of those games after your kids stopped playing. I've been to a couple, and I'm like, this is crazy. And it made me glad that I had stopped refereeing, because I refereed for many years, but it was never like that before. And I've done AAU, you know, games, all that stuff. It was never like that. My biggest fear was always in the summertime, it's hot, they jamming, you make a bad call. That could be your ass. You know, I always look for the exit. You know, that could be your ass, you know. But now the AAU circuit is the games where cats don't want to do, because everybody's parent thinks their son is the next LeBron, the next Kobe. You're standing in his way. He or she is my big payday.
Right. And there's a clip. Well, it's a meal ticket. Yeah. The kid is a meal ticket.
It's a meal ticket. One thing I saw, I got a clip and I'll send it to you guys later. Caitlin Clark, best player arguably in women's college basketball, is complaining during a game, like over the weekend. Her father told her to stop it and play the game. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to hear more of it. You out there, stop bitching, play the game, let's get it done. But it's easy to say that to her because she's number one goddamn pick. Can I say that when my kid is trying to get there? He know he getting his bag, so he good. You know, shut up. But these other parents, it's bad. There's videos, they fighting each other. I'm trying to think. No, that was college football where the football player shot the coach or some nonsense like that. But it's out of control, man. Yeah. And it's amateur sports.
Yeah, but they had a guy, his son was playing. He ran down from the stands, got in the coach's face. You know, you're not playing my son the right way. Da-da. He started pushing the coach. And it became a fistfight with the refs and everybody had to step in. Yes, with the kids. Like you said, AAU.
Yeah, like you said,
it's the parents that start all this stuff. Then the kids going to follow suit, because there was, remember the incident in Philly, I think it was a basketball game, where the kid, you know, got his friends and they jumped the ref after the game.
Yes, yes.
Well, you know? I can tell you from personal experience, you know, following my son to these peewee football games.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what I just said. Peewee football games. And there was a fight. Mother, the husband was like a maniac coach. The mother, you know, loud Staten Island, you know, chick. She's loud, yelling at the other side and screaming. And before you know it, they out there on the field ready to brawl. Cops are calling. I'm like, what are we watching here? I was like, yo, this is over. This can't happen. So it's been happening. And a lot of people, we constantly gas these kids up to a level that they shouldn't be gassed up. If you watch, I think I've sent you guys videos of these young kids.
Sure.
You know, showing out, you know.
Talking
you
know, stuff, you know, yeah. Barely can wipe their ass.
Right, barely wipe their ass, but they stomping, they showing out after a shot. They showing up their opponents. We don't believe in sportsmanship anymore. Sportsmanship is a dying art. The idea that, okay, good game, I'm going to shake your hand. You beat me by 40, still good game. Shake your hand, get on out of here. Nah, these kids want to strut. They want to mock, because they know that, or somebody's telling them That's going to get them on TV. Mm-hmm. That's going to get them a look. That's going to get them exposure. That's going to get them likes. That's going to get their social media up. That's going to be the thing they use to recruit. That's going to be the thing that gets you to the NBA, NFL, or MLB. Nah, play the game the right way and keep it moving.
And you know what they need to do? They need to go back to our parents. They ain't come to my goddamn games. They was working. I want to know how these parents are going to these games. Where they get this free time from? You know, they had time to be following me no damn basketball game. They out there working, hustling, getting a dollar. Where these people getting this money from? They traveling. Like, ain't nobody got no job, man. I can't understand. I just remember, like yesterday, man, you know, you come in, you had a game, you know, they could care less. Yo, I got a game. I'm playing so-and-so. I got a championship. And I ain't going on that, son. You know, I don't see where these parents, I played in a lot of games. And even as I got older, not just my parents, everybody's parents, they wasn't there. Folks was working. The economy was good. Man, we got to get some jobs out here. Because it's not adding up that these folks got that type of time to be going to these games. I don't know how, who, what, when, but they got too much time to be arguing with somebody. I need to know, is the car not paid, goddamn it. You know, can we get this car back if you ain't paying it? But it's crazy, man. I just don't see how they do it, man.
They doing it, Dirk.
Somehow, somewhere. Comedy clubs on Long Island. And I'll be damned. I think your uncle got out of the chair once, maybe twice, to come to a show.
For what? Exactly.
I'm like 10 minutes down the road.
Nah, they didn't, our parents, yo, do your thing. That's your time. I'm over here. I don't see where these parents can do it. I just, near play JV basketball. I think I went to one or two games. And the one game was like, no, I went to one game. And when she's playing for me, I can't tell her nothing. They down 40. She want to walk to me in the middle of the game. Daddy, what should we do? Do what you've been doing. Complain to your mama about me like you've been doing. Too hard on you. When I had you, we was with it. But even at that game, there wasn't a lot of parents. I went to one varsity game, and it was only because it was like senior night and they give you stuff. You know, parents got to go. But I'm not taking off work. I got a job. I got bills to pay. I just don't know when that changed where all of a sudden these parents can be making these games, man. Who's paying the bills?
These parents are looking for lottery.
I get it. But they got bills now.
They figure they're willing to sacrifice all of that, you know, for what they think is going to be the answer, the key. And they don't realize that, as I believe Dr. J told Mark at a camp.
Yeah.
You know, it's one in a million. I don't see a million people out here. So ain't none of y'all going. They don't realize that 300 players or so in the NBA, 330 million people in America. That really is one in a million. And that's not just America. That's globally, worldwide. That's all the possibilities. And it's not saying that there are people globally, worldwide, who cannot compete in the NBA. But the odds of, you know, crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, and having the fortune of getting there is something different. Listen, folks, if you have not subscribed to Power to the People, make sure you do. Anywhere you get your podcast, you get us. Anywhere you get your podcast, you get us. You can find us on social media at Powell to the People on Facebook, Powell to the Peeps on X, POWELL, the number 2. The letters DAPEEPS, Powell to the Peeps on X. You can find us all on Instagram, and you will find us back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. See you then. Peace.
Peace.